When I was a little guy, I grew up in a little town called Painted Post. And that's not a joke, that's the real name of a real town in upstate New York, just outside of Corning. I was born in Corning Hospital, lived my first few years in Painted Post until the flood of 1972 displaced us, and then moved to Corning. And lived next door to this little old lady whose name was Mrs. Burns. Mrs. Burns was this sweet little old lady who really loved my brother and me. She loved to play bingo, and she didn't do too well at it until one day my brother and I showed up at her apartment, and we had a little Sinclair dinosaur. Now, how do you remember the Sinclair dinosaur? It's sort of from Sinclair Oil. We had little plastic ones about this big because my Uncle Jimmy worked for them, and so he gave us all these Sinclair dinosaurs. And we said, here's a lucky charm, Mrs. Burns. Now go win it bingo. And guess what she did that night? She won it bingo. And so every week we had to come and give her a new good luck charm so that she could go and win it bingo. One night we actually gave her a four-leaf clover. Sometimes we gave her marbles. Marbles. You know, really. Problem with Mrs. Burns was that her husband had died rather suddenly from a heart attack some years previous to that. And she lived by herself in this little apartment, and she was very alone, and she was very afraid. And almost daily, she would make the trek over to the cemetery, and she would go and stand over her husband's cold gravestone, and she would talk to it. And she would talk as though he was actually there and could actually listen. And she would leave her place every day, even though Mrs. Burns was a fine and morally upright woman. She had no personal relationship with Jesus at all. She didn't believe there was any hope for her after she would pass. She figured that once you died, you went in a hole in the ground, and that was pretty much it. She lived like somebody who had no hope, no hope for eternity, no hope for happiness. And the only happiness she really got in life was getting visits from my brother and me and playing bingo. Now, think about that. Think about how she felt day by day. It was lonely. And very, very lonely. Let me begin this morning by asking you a question. Are you going to go to an eternal and peaceful home in heaven if you, like Mrs. Burns, are going to meet your day? What will happen to you? Do you have a kind of faith that gives you joy and peace right now as you await that day? Is your plan for life the same as a lot of people's plan for, you know, finances? Hopefully Jesus comes before my money runs out. Well, hopefully Jesus comes before I die, right? This morning I want to make a couple of observations, and want to start by asking you to stop for a moment and think about this. What if Jesus' resurrection was a fraud? What if it never really happened? Okay? Now, I'm not suggesting to you that's the case. I want to do a what if, a hypothetical situation. What would this world be like? What would your life be like right now if Jesus never really rose from the grave? Okay? How many of you know what you call it when you try to write with a broken pencil? Pointless. Get it? Where's my pen? I'm never telling that joke again. Forget it. What if our fleeting life on earth was pointless? What if it really didn't mean anything? If Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, then really what is the meaning of this life? The life that we're living. These 80 plus years that we struggle and toil and go through pain, and then what? Mrs. Burns looked back on her delightful years with her husband, and I never knew his name. But she looked back at her years with her husband, years that ended so suddenly and so confusingly to her, because she had no answers. She had no answers for why he died. She had no answers even for why he lived or even why she lived. She had no answers. Her futile graveside outings only furthered and deepened her sense of hopelessness. And you could see it written in her face. Let's face it. If Jesus never rose from the dead, if he never came back to life after laying in that tomb for so many hours, if he wasn't able to lay aside his burial wrappings and the headpiece that they covered his head with, if he wasn't able to leave the tomb and walk among the living as one of the living because he was living, if he wasn't able to do any of that, folks, then all of our religious observances are worthless. Even life itself would be worthless. If all you do is live 70 plus a few if your health is good, and then you die and you go to the ground, and that's all there is, then all of it's hopeless. If Jesus didn't really raise from the dead, then all of this is just plain hopeless. Any blessings we enjoy in life won't really be blessings. They'll just be happy circumstances, happy coincidences. Everything will come to a heartbreak and a sudden stop. That any good work that we did will just perish with us. When our life has passed, a mere twinkling of an eye, actually, when you consider the eons that have gone before us, the eons that will probably come after us unless Jesus comes first, any impact that we leave on earth will be just totally washed away. And what is the sense in any of that if Jesus didn't really raise from the dead? If this life is all there is, then what sense is any of it? Now, how many of you are saying, man, I was feeling good till he started preaching this morning. Now I feel totally bummed. I am so depressed. We waste our time trusting in a God, and we pray to a God who isn't there if Jesus didn't raise from the dead. If God is not the God over life and death, then he is no God at all. Apostle Paul wrote it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 14. Please open there in your Bibles if you would. Corinthians 15:14. You have it. If you're sitting next to somebody that's kind of lost in there, please share your Bible with them. Okay, everybody got it? All right. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him. In fact, But he did not raise him. In fact, the dead are not raised. But if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied, or as it says in some translations, most miserable. If Jesus never rose from the dead, then everything we do on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, Tuesday afternoons, Tuesday evenings, all the programs that we do, everything from the White Cross ministry that helps missionaries to the Breaking Bread ministry that helps feed poor people, that's all useless. How pointless our belief would be if Jesus was still dead. How futile would life be if Jesus was still dead? How fleeting any happiness would be. I mean, you might have happy moments here and there, but if it was just nothing more than a fleeting little vapor, and then you die, then what's the point of any of it? On the other hand, this is the good part. On the other hand, if indeed Christ has risen, then all of this makes sense. On the other hand, because Christ has certainly and indeed risen from the dead, we have every reason to worship God and to savor the blessings that we enjoy today. Life is good when you know there's a point to it. You're not a broken pencil. The There's a point to your life. There's a point to your worship. There's a point to relationships. There's a point to everything that you earn. There's a point to everything, because everything is dignified and made holy in the life of a person who loves Jesus. So point number two, what does the resurrection give us? Well, I suppose that the benefits of the resurrection are many, but I'd like to just kind of like a highlight three of them, okay? Three things. First, the resurrection of Jesus is our promise that the life that we now live is not in vain. You hear me? Okay, if you don't hear me, can you read it? The fact that Jesus Christ has risen is our promise that the life that we live here is not in vain. You have significance, not just temporally, but eternally. There's significance to your life. Our lives have purpose beyond the 80 or so years that we are going to have here. I read the other day that the average life expectancy of a woman in the United States is 84 years. That's the average life expectancy. That's not bad. I read that the average life expectancy of the average man is about 80 to 81. I figured out why the man is shorter lifespan than the woman. It's because women get so fed up with them, they kill them. Our lives have purpose beyond these years we spent on earth, because the living God has promised us that the investments that we make here in eternity will be ours to enjoy for eternity. We even read that in Scripture. It says where our treasure is, that's where our heart will be. Another blessing that we get because of the resurrection of Christ is this, that because Jesus conquered death, and because of our faith in Him, we now anticipate victory over the grave. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, your body may fall into the grave someday, but you'll live forever. You hear what I'm saying? You will have victory over the grave. Jesus' triumph over the grave. I mean, when He walked out of that tomb, it forever gives us courage to endure all the temporal tragedies and all of the nasty things that we have to deal with here. And life is hard. Is it not? I know some of you are going, maybe for you, not for me. Well, if that's you, stay tuned, folks. Life gets hard at times. Sometimes it tries us to the point where we just don't think we can go another step. But because of the resurrection of Christ, it gives dignity even to all of our sufferings. Even the things that we suffer can take on a sanctified means. The truth is that whatever our circumstances are, we can be confident that there are better days coming. And there are. And I'm not talking about if your person gets elected in the coming elections. I'm talking about that there's something coming that's even better than that. And Jesus said it, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go there to prepare a place for you." How long has Jesus been preparing your place? Well, do the math. If he lived 33 to 36 years, depending on your theological bent, that means he's been working on your place about 1,980 years. That's pretty good, considering that when you look at the world and all the beauty it has, he created in 6 days. He's been working on your place for 1,980 years. What does that mean? It means that no matter how beautiful things are around here, the place he has prepared for you is going to make this pale in comparison. Whatever our circumstances, we can be confident that better days are coming. We need not fear death. Hear what I just said? We need not fear death. Be honest. How many of you right now are scared to death by death? Are you afraid? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of what's to come? Are you afraid of the way you get there? I'm kind of afraid of the way I get there. In other words, You know, like Woody Allen said, I'm not afraid of death, but when dying happens, I just don't want to be there. Do you want to be there? I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't have to worry about what's on the other side of the grave, so I may not want to really look forward to how I get there. But the truth is, there's no fear in it. There's no fear in death and dying. There's only beauty and hope waiting for you. If you have Christ, there is beauty and hope waiting for you. And when the day comes and you pass through that veil, the one we call death, if you have Jesus as your Savior, He's going to be waiting for you on the other side of that. And He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into your reward. Because your name's written here in the book, let me show you your new house that I've been building for you for 1,980 years. You don't need to be afraid. Thirdly, Jesus rose and showed us what life we should truly emphasize. Now that may sound strange. We live in an age where people work endlessly to earn and make and to create and to get all the stuff that they can and build all manner of things because they think it's going to give them a better life. When truthfully, they're working to earn things and build things that they can't keep at the expense of the thing that they can't lose. What I mean? They work endless hours here trying to make material stuff and buy material stuff when the truth is they should be emphasizing what comes hereafter. You get what I said? They emphasize the wrong part of life. They work to earn things they can't keep at the expense of storing up treasures in heaven that they cannot lose. When Jesus rose from the grave, He brought with Him the keys to heaven's door. But the way most Americans live, you would think that this life was all there is, as though this was all there is. I'm here to tell you this morning that this is not all that there is, that there's something better coming. And Jesus rose from the grave to show that to you and to prove that to you. Untold numbers of moms and dads work countless hours to make sure that their kid has that toy, that amusement that's going to absolutely change their life. I know that this gift, if I give this gift to them, it's going to totally change their life because everybody knows that no kid's life can be complete without an iPad, iPhone, and PlayStation. Well, the next one's what, 5? We got to have all that stuff. I don't know how, folks, I made it through my childhood with only a ball glove, a baseball bat, and a football. How could we possibly make it with 4 to 5 kids? Are all these things that you're working to provide for your kids going to make their life better? Others work multiple jobs and sacrifice their time with their kids, even forsaking their children's spiritual needs, not bringing them to church, not bringing them to Sunday school, totally forsaking their spiritual needs for the purpose of giving them more material stuff. They invest in things and forget the eternal. They forget that the most important thing that they can give their child is Jesus. Now, hold on, folks. This is the point we're supposed to say, amen. I mean, you're Baptist, right?
Amen.
As they work feverishly to provide materially, they forget what is most important, and that is providing for their children spiritually. You know what the problem is? It's placing our emphasis on the wrong life. We emphasize the 70 and forget the millions that are following. Because this is what we see, this is what we feel, and so this is what must be real. If you can't see it from here or feel it with your fingers, then it must not be real. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Why? Why did Jesus go through all that pain? Why did He go through all that anguish? Why did they allow Him? Why did He allow them to to scourge him front and back and beat him and put a crown of thorns on his head and play the smiting of hands game, which is a totally and terribly cruel thing. Why did he go through all that if this is all there is? If this is all there is, it was wasted blood and wasted effort, wasted pain. I want you to know, folks, this isn't all there is. Do you hear what I just said? This isn't all there is. Contrast the story of Mrs. Burns with the story of another widow that I knew growing up, and her name was Naomi Drew. That name almost sounds like a holy woman, doesn't it? Naomi Drew. That's a real person. She had lost her husband to a sudden heart attack right about the same time that Mrs. Burns lost her husband to a sudden heart attack. Mrs. Drew made multiple and regular trips to the cemetery to visit her deceased husband's grave, just like Mrs. Burns did. But Mrs. Drew's trips to the cemetery were different. There was something totally different about them. Because Mrs. Drew's trips to the cemetery had a totally different character. You see, Mrs. Drew loved Jesus. And when her husband died, he died as a person who loves Jesus. And so when Mrs. Burns would go to the cemetery in her many graveside visits, she would sit there and visit with her husband briefly, just, I don't even know why she did it, but she liked to do that once in a while, made sure everything was neat and tidy around the grave site. They had a joint stone, you know, one of the ones that had his and her sides to it. And she would notice other people weeping over and talking to cold, dead gravestones, trying vainly to cling to the relationships that these people once enjoyed and trying to somehow regain some of that feeling that they lost when their loved one died. But Mrs. Drew, the believer, when she went to the cemetery, brought a Bible with her. Other people brought sorrow and ache and pain. She brought a Bible. And when she would see people standing over these gravestones mourning and weeping, she would walk up to them with her little Bible open, literally. And she would offer them the message of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because Jesus rose from the dead, you will rise from the dead. She would give them something similar to what I'm telling you this morning. She would offer to them the thing that gave her life meaning and hope. Mrs. Drew would tell people that Jesus rose from the dead. Strange as it may sound, Mrs. Drew was our cemetery evangelist. And she would take every opportunity she could find to tell people about Jesus. What was the difference between Mrs. Burns and Mrs. Drew? What was the difference? One lived in despair. She lived in despair and sadness. The other one lived with hope. She had so much hope, folks, that she couldn't not share it. She was so bubbling over with hope, it flowed out on everybody that she met. She gave me my first real Bible. She got me reading books. Most of you know how much I love to read books, man. She would give me a book every single week and want me to tell her about it the next week. She was a living, walking, biblical encyclopedia, and she loved telling people about Jesus. What was the difference between Mrs. Burns and Mrs. Drew? Jesus. The difference was Jesus. One loved Jesus with all of her heart. The other one, well, he was probably a nice guy for his time. That's your hope, isn't it? Do you love Jesus? Is Jesus' resurrection promise something that you claim yourself? You will be resurrected someday, never to die again. The question is, when we pass through that veil, are we going to be walking in the arms of a Savior that says, your name's written here in the Lamb's Book of Life? You see, if it is, you're going to go to heaven and you're going to be living in joy and peace for all of eternity. You see, Easter Sunday is more than just bunnies and multicolored eggs. It's a risen Savior named Jesus who went to the cross and paid the ultimate price for your sin and mine. Not his own, because he'd never sinned. But Jesus died so that you would have the gift of eternal life. Do you want to live with the eternal hope and joy like Naomi drew? Or do you want to live with the despair and aching heart of a Mrs. Barnes? The choice is yours. You can say, you know, I want joy in my life, and I want to know that when I die, I'm going to go and be at peace and joy for all of eternity. Please, give me Jesus. The other response is going to be, you know, I've kind of heard this song before, and I don't really think I need Jesus so much, and you're going to walk out of here totally unchanged. But if you receive Christ, as Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. If you receive Christ as your own, you have the gift of eternal life. And you can live and even die in hope. Let's pray. Father, as we worship here together and as we have sung, as we have prayed, as we have worshiped under your word, dear God, we have heard time and time again this morning how Jesus came and died and rose to give us hope. Father, there may be those here today that are living without that hope. They may be struggling through life wondering what's the point of all of it, when the truth really is Jesus. Father, I pray that your Spirit will be talking to hearts right now, and if there is even one person here that has never asked Jesus to come into their heart to be their Savior, I pray, Father, that your Spirit would be speaking to them even right now. Lord, touch that heart and touch that mind and help them to sense their need for more. Without anybody looking around, please just keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. If the Lord has spoken to your heart and you have sensed the futility in life that is yours because you have not received Christ, have you sensed that you want to have that kind of joy in your life, I want to pray for you. There can be a point in your life, and there can be dignity in death if you ask Jesus to be your Savior. If the Lord has spoken to you and you want to receive Christ this morning, it's just as simple as saying a prayer and asking Him. The prayer goes like this. Dear God, have mercy on me. I know that I have sinned, and I know that I don't have peace in my heart over my life or even over the idea of death. But right now, I ask you, dear God, in the name of your Son, Jesus, to forgive me of those sins. Forgive me, dear God, and help me to do better. And I open my heart right now, and I ask Jesus, dear Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart and live there forever, so that my sins can be forgiven and that I might find the gift of eternal life. Your word tells me that if I let Jesus in, that He will come in. And so, dear Jesus, please come into my heart. Be my Savior today and forever. Forgive me my sins, cleanse me from my unrighteousness, and give me the gift of eternal life, I pray. Dear God, thank you for those that just prayed that prayer. Lord, I pray that you would touch their heart and touch their mind and help them to realize the important decision that they just made. And now, dear God, we pray that you would help them to walk in victory in this life, realizing that there was a life to come. Now, if you said that prayer with me, please keep your eyes closed, your head bowed. Would you just slip up your hand so I can see who it was, if there's anybody here that prayed that prayer? If you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart, just slip up your hand. Yes, I see those hands. Thank you. You can lower those. Yes, God bless you. Yes, I see that hand. If you prayed that prayer and asked Jesus to come into your heart, just lift up your hand so I can see it, because I want to pray for you this week. Anybody else? Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Father, you see the hands that are now raised. Father, you see the hands that have been raised. And I pray, dear God, that you can help those people to walk in victory. Lord, give them the assurance of a blessed eternity. Father, bless them. Lord, just help them to walk in newness of life. Lord, give them dignity in this life. Give them hope and peace in this life. And dear God, give them the promise and the hope of an eternity. Lord, thank you for each one. And Lord, we'll praise you in the name of a risen Savior named Jesus.